I will open the Joint Committee on Ways and Means for Friday, February 24th. We have a reasonable agenda this morning, so I will just go to the first item on the agenda. I will open a work session on SB 1587. Senator Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Mr. Co-Chair, Senate Bill 1587 requires the Appraiser Certification Licensure Board to report to the Legislative Assembly on or before May 1st, 2003 regarding three issues. The Board's procedure for dispute resolution, the Board's procedures relating to conflicts of interest among Board members, and the current process by which a person becomes an appraiser. The bill defines dispute to mean a case or complaint handled by the Appraiser Certification Licensure Board that was filed by the Board and appraiser or by property owner against the appraiser. Under current law, the Appraiser Certification Licensure Board is a semi-independent agency. Its budget is not subject to executive branch review or approval or modification by the Legislative Assembly. Passage of this bill is expected to have minimal fiscal impact to the Board. The General Government Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 1587 be amended and reported out. Do pass as amended.
Okay. There's a motion on the floor. Is there any debate? Any questions? Yes, Senator Johnson.
I would just add that we had a very robust conversation about this in committee. I mean very robust, and I hope that the Board comes away with the notion that they need to employ best practices, not just from a parsed legal perspective, but from a public perception perspective. And so I believe they left the committee knowing that they needed to have absolutely defensible practices, and I support the bill.
Any objections to the motion on the table? Seeing none, motion carries. Close that work session, open a work session. HB 4002A. Representative Garrard.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 4002 establishes a 5-member Forestry Education Council and creates a sub-account in the Oregon University System Fund dedicated to funding investments in professional forestry education. The council is directed to establish criteria and measurements for Oregon State University to use in determining which investments to make related to forestry education using funds available from the sub-account. The measure identifies several potential sources of funds. However, the amount of money available for deposit into the sub-account is unknown. Once funding is identified, there is a minimal fiscal impact to the Oregon University system for the expenses of the council. The Education Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4002 be amended and reported out. Do pass as amended.
Any discussion? Yes, Representative Kahn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just very, very briefly, this came to us in our education sub, and it is one way, and we continue to hear in our house during our floor sessions about the need of to have jobs, and particularly in forestry. But I think all good jobs start with a good education. And so it's nice that we're making sure that OSU continues this program.
Any additional discussion? Seeing none, any objection to the motion on the table? There, seeing none, motion carries. Close that work session, open a work session, HB 4026. Relating to Court of Appeals, Senator Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Mr. Co-Chair, House Bill 4026 increases number of Court of Appeals judges from 10 to 13. The measure provides that three new positions become operative October 1, 2013. The governor will initially appoint the positions who will then stand for election. The measure does not have a fiscal impact this biennium and has an estimate fiscal impact of $2.9 million general fund for the 2013-15 biennium. The Public Safety Committee Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4026 be amended and reported out to pass as amended.
Any discussion? Yes, Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. While I heard the testimony in the subcommittee, both in the policy committee, judiciary, and subcommittee on the need for this bill, this is kicking the can down the road in the most obvious of mechanisms. We're committing the 2013 legislature to fund positions that we're not even willing to pay for one day in the current biennium. And although I am very sympathetic and supportive of the court's need to provide quick turnaround. We're not making commitments to education. We're not making commitments to other public safety programs. We're not making commitments to human services. And I can't see why we would make commitments in this one particular area.
Okay. Senator Whitsitt, then Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really do believe that we need more appellate court judges, and I support that. But I do not support the concept of the governor appointing the three new judges, and for that reason, I'll be a no.
Co-Chair Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I certainly understand the position of Representative Nolan. I think that there's a difference between agencies such as those that, you know, provide education or those that provide care and a branch of government. And we have actually five branches of government in Oregon, if you add the Secretary of State and the Treasurer's Office, which you vote for, and they're separate in the Constitution. Normally, as we know, you know, you have the legislative, the executive, and the judiciary. And for this system to function, you have to ensure that there is proper personnel and funding for each of the branches of government. And the judiciary has not had a change in the number of appellate judges in 35 years. And our population has changed, the complexity of the business environment, and the whole state has developed and progressed to a point that if we do not adequately man the court system, then you pay a price. And so, yes, we didn't do that this by any, but this is February. We have a one-month session, and we have a budget that has already been established. It's starting next time because as we work on the budget in 2013 for the 13-15 time, we will consider the reality that the judiciary will have to have this additional money. You have to fund the branches of government for our system to work, and the judiciary needs this. They were not lobbying for this. They asked for it a year ago. We've looked at it again. Judiciary committees looked at it, and we realize even though they're not asking for it now because they've got other concerns long term, we see this as a need. And so that's why it's going forward. I think they were shocked. I hope it didn't cause any heart problems for the chief to say, where did this come from, other than we know that there's a need. And so I hope that it goes forward because we need to anticipate the need and ensure that it is funded. Thank you.
Senator Gerard.
I would have a question. I don't know who could answer it. But if the governor does make the appointments, is there any way that we could have put into this bill that it would require Senate approval?
Is it in the bill? I don't believe it's in the bill.
Ms. Borden, I would guess, unless it's in the bill, since these are new appointments, these would just come up for election. And since there's no incumbent.
Good morning, co-chairs and members of the committee, and co-chair Devlin and Senator Gerard. That's correct. The bill is the standard language that you have seen before, and that is if the, given the timing before a general election, the governor would appoint the positions, and then the positions would then stand for the next general election, is my understanding. But as far as any kind of other mechanism for confirmation of the positions, that is not contemplated in the measure.
Senator Virgil.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'd just like to be associated with Co-Chair Richardson's comment. I think that there is a need. We really have to support the judicial branch, and I hope this goes forward.
Okay. Yes, Senator Winters.
I'd like to ask staff, because I think somewhere in the background recesses of my mind, I don't believe that this is a setting of precedence making recommendation on something that's happening in the future. And if staff can, Mr. Rocco, this is not a first time that we have done this budgetarily.
Mr. Chair, Senator Winters,
this is too tempting. Mr. Rockwell, were you here 35 years ago?
I recall bills in the past that have made things effective on the last day of the current biennium. This is something that I think we've had discussions with council about. Basically, the next legislature could come in and repeal this bill, so you're really not binding them to anything.
Because
so.
I would concur with the good co-chair, Mr. Richardson.
Senator Monroe, then Senator Girard.
Thank you. I'm on the committee that heard this. We heard evidence, overwhelming evidence, that the backlog is getting bigger and bigger. We all know, as an old political science teacher, that justice delayed is justice denied, and that's happening in the state right now. So these new judges are badly needed. The public will get to review any appointments very quickly in the very next election, and so I think it's an appropriate thing for us to do to move this forward.
Senator Girard.
Well, Senator Monroe kind of touched on it a little bit. My question goes back to the appointments. So there's no oversight on the governor's appointment until the election. So what I'm saying is the governor could put three very liberal judges in there that would have a leg up on the next election cycle, and there's no oversight to that.
Co-chairs and Representative Gordon, if I understood your question correctly, it is normal protocol for the governor to appoint any vacancies to statutory judgeships. So this would be considered a normal vacancy for which he would be able to appoint.
Okay, I would like to just comment. I'm too going to be a no, because the bill could be written so that these judges went into effect at the next election cycle, because this absolutely gives a leg up to whoever the appointment is in the process, and I don't trust the governor to make reasonable choices in this arena.
Any additional discussion?
Yes. Just a quick comment, Mr. Co-Chair. Senator, I did suggest that Representative Richardson be written into the bill as one of the judges.
I declined.
Okay. Any additional discussion? Mr. Rocco, would you call the roll?
Representative Smith.
Aye.
Representative Wisman.
No.
Representative Nolan?
No.
Representative Kant?
Aye.
Representative Byer?
Aye.
Representative Freeman?
No.
Representative Cowan?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
No.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Girard?
Aye.
Vice Chair Nathanson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Buckley?
Aye.
Senator Winters?
Aye.
Senator Bates?
Aye.
Senator Nelson?
No.
Senator Berger?
Aye.
Senator Whitsitt?
No.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Girard?
No.
Senator Edwards?
Aye.
Senator Thompson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Johnson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Devlin?
Aye.
The motion carries.
Motion carries. Close that work session. Okay, we'll go on to the next item, HB 4059, Higher Education. Representative Kahn.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 4059 directs the Higher Education Coordinating Commission to carry out goals relating to awarding academic credit for prior learning by students. The measure directs the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, or HEC, to appoint an advisory committee to coordinate implementation of the goals and submit a report to the Legislative Assembly by December 31st of each calendar year. The measure also directs the HEC to prepare a report to the legislature proposing a partnership with the Western Governors University to provide online competency-based higher education degree programs. This report is to be submitted by November 1st, 2012. There is a minimal fiscal impact to the governor's office, Oregon University System, Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development, and the Oregon Student Access, is it Access or Association Commission, for participation in the advisory committee and assisting with the report. The Education Subcommittee highly recommends House Bill 4059 to be reported out due pass.
Any discussion?
I have to think about that.
Any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. Close that work session, open a work session. HB 4082. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, House Bill 4082 transfers the court-appointed special advocates volunteer programs from the State Commission on Children and Families to the Oregon Commission for Voluntary Action and Service. The bill requires, each CASA volunteer program to report biennially to standing and interim committees of the Legislative Assembly related to the provision of court-appointed special advocate services. The bill directs the Judicial Department, the Housing and Community Services Department, and the Oregon Volunteers Commission to study the appropriate structure and operation for funding and administration of the CASA volunteer programs and make recommendations to the legislature. The bill contains an emergency clause and is effective on passage. Your Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development recommends establishing one position, 0.67 FTE, to manage the CASA programs for the 11-13 biennium, and the adoption of the Dash 8 amendments, which will provide a general fund appropriation to the Housing and Community Services Department, equivalent to the funds to be transferred from the State Commission on Children and Families, plus $122,799. The amendments also reduce the general fund appropriation to the State Commission on Children and Families by $1,184,366 to the expected amount of the CASA fund balance at the date of transfer. Your Ways and Means Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development recommends that House Bill 4082 be amended and reported out, do pass as amended. And colleagues, I would add there was a considerable amount of discussion in the committee about this transfer. I think for many of us, CASAs are effective and well-managed and very efficacious programs, and we're concerned that there be a seamless transition with the voluntary action commission, accepting the fact that they're now in the business of basically 24/7 services, and they need to have appropriate phone messaging and be able to be as nimble and responsive as CASA programs are in most of our jurisdictions.
Discussion on the motion before the committee.
Just a quick question.
Yes, Senator.
These people do a great job for nobody. They're all volunteers, and they do a heck of a job. And they do it on a shoestring. This reporting by each program to various committees in the assembly, is that going to be a burden for them? Do you guys have a discussion about that? They have so few people.
Mr. Chair, may I respond?
Yes.
I think the idea here is not to have CASA just cranking out reports, but rather to study where should CASA most appropriately be located.
That's been a discussion.
And that really is the issue here. So all of these different entities would have the opportunity, after doing this kind of test flight at the Commission for Voluntary Action, to see if there's a more appropriate permanent location for CASA. It isn't meant to generate a whole bunch of reports. It's meant to generate critical thinking about where this very efficacious program should permanently reside.
I just don't want to put any burden on these people. They have so few resources. They did a great job. I still don't want to put any burden on them.
Well, Mr. Chair, may I respond? I think from the discussion in committee that Margaret Van Fleet, the new head of housing, is very well aware of the nature of this program. She's on the record as saying she's going to make sure that it runs smoothly, that there won't be additional burden. I have confidence in her ability to deliver on that. And so I think the plan here is to just find a place for CASA to rest until a more permanent home can be established.
Thank you. Thank you.
Any additional discussion? Any objection to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries. Close that work session. Open a work session on HB 4163, Judicial Security Personnel. Senator Monroe.
House Bill 4163 changes the title of Court Security Office to Judicial Security Marshal, and court security personnel to judicial security personnel, and requires the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training to train judicial security personnel and for the Oregon Judicial Department to pay for the training. It is the Judicial Department's discretion as to whether or not this training occurs. Judicial security personnel do not currently qualify to be trained by or maintain certification with DPSST. This bill does not allow judicial security personnel to qualify for PERS benefits under ORS 238005. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4163 be reported out, do pass.
Any discussion of the motion before the committee?
Better it's a more descriptive name.
Any objection to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries.
Wasn't my bill.
We will now go to federal grant application requests. Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Co-Chair Devlin. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means approve retroactively the submission of a federal grant application on behalf of Benton County and Yamhill County to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for Cooperative Endangered Species Conservation Fund Recovery Land Acquisition Grant in the amount of $1,259,000 for the acquisition of 602 acres of Bald Hill Farm and land along the Marys River in Benton County, and $292,611 for continued outreach and education of private landowners, survey and mapping of Fender's Blue Butterfly and Taylor's Checker Spot Butterfly and associated habitat, and completion of a habitat conservation plan in Yamhill County. Of the 602 acres of Bald Hill Farm, 587 acres will be maintained as a working farm with payment of property taxes to continue. The remaining 15 acres will be publicly owned by Benton County with only a $629 loss in annual property taxes to the county. The grant requires a 25% match, which will be paid by the benefiting grantees. Your Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends your approval. Thank you.
Discussion of the motion, Co-Chair Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I've read this a number of times, and I struggle with this a little because we have two grants in here. I think that the one dealing with Bald Hill Farm and Benton County makes a tremendous amount of sense. I mean, we're looking at the grant is actually $1.259 million of federal funds. The matching funds are $3,740,000. I mean, the local folks are doing all that they can, and this helps them to make this happen, and it's a good use, and it's not going to affect their tax dollars and so forth. On the other side of this, there's a second part. You know, the Yamhill Soil and Water Conservation District want $326,000 of taxpayer money, or borrowed money, depending how the federal government is working, and they putting up $90,000 of local matching money so that they can continue research and work on the Fender Blue Butterfly. Well, in these times, there's lots of ways that we could spend money, and I don't think that this is a very good way to do it. If these were separated, I vote yes for the first and no on the second, but we're stuck with it the way it is, and so I'm going to support it, but I just will state again, I think it's an inappropriate use of taxpayer dollars to be chasing after the butterflies when Washington, D.C. is burning.
Representative Freeman, then Senator Verger, then Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I request someone come up and tell me why this is retroactive. It seems to me that we get notice of these grants, and yet they come to us after they've already been sent, and you're saying, you know, how are you going to vote on this? And so can someone explain to me, and this is $1 million, and so I'd like to know.
Mr. Chair, Senator, we have a process in place with agencies because grants deadlines occur throughout the year, and the approval mechanism legislative body is either Ways and Means during the session or the emergency board during the interim or the interim Ways and Means now. If those bodies are not meeting, we have an arrangement where agencies submit a letter to legislative leadership 10 days before they are required to submit the grant. And that then is forwarded on to leadership, and if they have any questions or any concerns about the grant, they let legislative fiscal know. and then we contact the agency and let them know that they should probably not go forward at this time with that grant. So a lot of times you'll see retroactive requests from an agency, but they have fulfilled that requirement to send in the information 10 days in advance, and in this case the agency did do that.
Follow-up, Mr. Chairman. Do you have the date?
I believe they submitted the letter to the leadership on January 11th of this year, and that was more than 10 days in advance of when the deadline for applying was, because that was on January 27th. So they did fulfill that requirement.
Okay.
Chairman.
Yes.
It's just the process here, and it would seem to me that if there is a chance, we meet so much. We are here with legislative days. We're here with the, you know, now annual sessions. The e-board meets. I just wonder if there's not some opportunity here for us to have some say on grants before they are submitted. I'm not opposed to this. It's the principle of the thing that I'm speaking to. So thank you. That's all I needed to know. And thank you, Rocker.
Thanks, Senator Virgil. Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is it my turn now?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're the first amongst six remaining.
I'll be brief. my comment really is, really? Is this what we're doing here? Chasing butterflies? I mean, there's big problems in the state of Oregon, in this country, and we're taking time here at this committee meeting and spending tax dollars for butterflies. Let's think about that.
Okay. Winters, then Cowan, then Gerard, and maybe it has somebody. Oh, and then Smith.
Mr. Coach, I just have a quick question. Haven't we had this submitted or this asked before?
Said over last time.
It was said over last time?
Yes, it was.
I think this is
Set over from the committee, though.
Set over from the committee? Yeah. Mr. Rocco, would you clarify?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, this particular grant has not been seen by this committee before. The nature of this grant has been seen many times over many years for different parts of the state of Oregon. But for this particular grant, this is the first.
Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Because the pieces of this proposal have come up before and were reviewed when I was serving on the Agriculture and Natural Resources Subcommittee last session, I wanted to share that at that time I did some research on my own, curious about the need for the project in Yamhill County, and reached out to the Yamhill County commissioners to talk to them about it. And I believe it was Commissioner Lewis that I talked to who reinforced for me the importance of the overall project with some mitigation needs and a variety of things that they're trying to do in that county, and that the acquisition of this piece of property is actually very important to them. So I just didn't want us to lose sight of that in this discussion. It isn't just about a butterfly.
Senator Rod.
I have a question, and that is, who federally is pushing the Endangered Species Act that we need to create habitat for the fender blue butterfly?
Chair, members of the committee, it's the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that oversees this program, and they are the ones that list endangered species.
Well, just a follow-up. The Endangered Species Act was put there to initially save the bald eagle and whales and a few things, and it was usually considered to be vertebrates. And sometime, I don't know how or when, it decided to do invertebrates. And anybody that knows anything about the blue butterfly, it's about that big. It's a little dinky butterfly. And
it's cute.
It smiles at you, too, I guess. But I would have to agree with Representative Freeman. We have a lot of things to do in this state, and I think a nasty letter to U.S. Fish and Wildlife would be a lot better than spending millions of dollars for something that we absolutely don't need.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I have about four or five questions.
Okay, please proceed.
And maybe I can bundle my questions and then get kind of an answer back. I'm looking at page 3 of 5 on the write-up where there's a map of the Bald Hill Farm. And I'm trying to figure out what type of... I'm just going to kind of talk and then look for a response back. I'm trying to figure out what type of farm we have here, if it's a farm or more of a ranch. As I look at the ground around the area, I see tillage, but I don't see any tillage on the property itself. And so my question is it a ranch, is it a farm? And then with the transfer of ownership, who's going to be responsible for farming, for ranching? And then is there going to be any type of deed restriction that would eliminate other types of farming or ranching?
Would you like the department director? Would you like the department director? I think he's
here. Sure. I've done some research on the particular farm, and I couldn't tell you the difference between a ranch or a farm.
Well, and I'm getting into the weeds, but there's a reason for this.
Into the weeds?
Into the grass. There's no weeds on a farm.
Fine, then they don't even.
Good morning, Chair, members of the committee, Representative Smith.
Turned down.
Again, well, I'm sorry. I'm Tim Wood, the director of the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. And first of all, the reason that we're the applicant for this grant is we're the conduit for this program, Section 6 Invertebrate Program, through the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. When we assumed that responsibility when the Oregon Natural Heritage Program was transferred from the Department of State Lands to our department, effective in January of this year. So with regard to your question, I'm not specifically familiar with the property, so I can't tell you exactly, you know, what agricultural practices are occurring there right now. I don't know for certain, but I would assume, I'm rather confident that public access will be a part of the Benton County's proposal for managing the property, but I don't know that.
Mr. Kutcher, let me just take one question at a time really quick. Who will be the managing entity over the farm? Who will manage the farm? Who's going to make sure the cows are taken care of?
Sure, Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, I believe that's the Benton County Parks Department, I believe.
So they're not going to lease the farm back to a private entity?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, I don't know. I can't answer that.
Just a follow-up question. Yeah. Do we know, is there going to be any type of deed restriction on the type of farming that can occur?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, I can't answer that. Okay. I do not know.
All right. I'm going to switch my questioning now if I can.
Okay.
Thank you. And I know I'm getting down into the grass on that. In the write-up, it talks about that we're going to spend $292,000 for continued outreach and education of private landowners as it relates to the Fetter's blue butterfly and the Taylor's checkered spot butterfly. Can you talk about what outreach is currently going on or what has gone on in the recent past?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, I don't know specifically. I can't answer that. I believe the... Oh, no, is this the Yamhill County or the...
Yamhill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, on the Yamhill piece, what Yamhill County is doing is working with private landowners to help them inventory and identify, develop a habitat conservation plan so they can inventory and identify the habitat that would be appropriate for recovering these species. And in so doing, they would essentially develop a management plan that will help landowners identify practices that would help recover the species and would be appropriate in terms of the agricultural practice would be appropriate to do that.
So, just to follow up here, what I'm trying to get at is what is going to be, how are we going to spend $300,000 on outreach and education to private landowners? What is that going to entail? Is someone going door to door? Are we sending them a mailer? Are we gonna send them a video? How are we going to outreach to the local landowners?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, the public outreach program that they've used so far is through newspaper articles and information pieces, public meetings and public presentations on the program. They've done public tours of the site and have done other informational mailings to folks in the region.
Okay. All right. Just one comment. I'm not opposed to trying to preserve Oregon's wildlife heritage. I'm not opposed to that. The one issue that really concerns me in this is possible deed restrictions on that property. I would hope, and obviously I just speak for one on this committee, but I would hope that there would not be deed restrictions that would limit the type of agricultural use on that property. And so if the highest and best use evolves over time, I would hope that there would be opportunity for that rather than restrictions that say no, only X.
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, I understand your question. Again, the Benton County is an acquisition question. The Yamhill County is a grant for some planning money. And I understand your question, and I'll carry that back to Benton County for sure.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Co-Chair Devlin. I would really commend Representative Smith for his line of questioning, and I think this line of questioning, a typical line of questioning, should go with every grant that comes across this committee, because we really don't know for the most part what we're doing and what the unintended consequences are, what the, as Representative Smith mentioned, the conservation easement can be a good thing or it can be completely restrictive to the point you can't do anything. And so I think that's really important. I would point out that this calculates when you put all the money together to, what is that, $8,300 an acre for this property. Perhaps it's worth that. It'd be interesting to know whether there's been appraisals on it and whether there's been more than one appraisal, how they came to that fee. And then the question that I have is, and this is not for right now, but I would like to know how much money, local, state, and federal money, has been spent on these two species of butterfly in Oregon to date.
Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking at some materials that we've been provided. It's several pages down. Attachment, the summary of grant applications, Section 6 of the Endangered Species Act. And there's a description of grant number one, and there's something significant to me that pops out in the description of grant number two, where it's talking about focusing on the Fender's blue butterfly and Taylor's checker spot butterfly, which inhabit upland prairie habitats on private lands. The key sentence in this grant summary, the key sentence for me is about four lines down. It's a very long sentence. I'll just read the key phrase. Completion of this work will allow private landowners to remain economically viable while also being in compliance with the Endangered Species Act. For me, this is more about remaining economically viable. So that's why I support this. Thank you.
Any additional discussion? Okay. Roll call, Mr. Rocco.
Representative Smith.
Aye.
Yes?
You sound surprised.
Representative
Don't you know how to take yes for an answer?
Had some questions.
Quickly moving on.
No, sir.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Comp?
Aye.
Representative Byer?
Yes.
Representative Freeman?
No.
Representative Collin?
Yes.
Representative Thatcher?
No.
Representative McLean?
Yes.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Girard?
No.
Vice Chair Nathanson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Buckley?
Aye.
Senator Winters?
Aye.
Senator Bates?
Aye.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Senator Berger?
Aye.
Senator Whitsitt?
No.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Girard?
No.
Senator Edwards?
Aye.
Senator Thompson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Johnson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Devlin?
Motion carries.
Did you vote? Okay.
Did you vote?
I did vote. Okay. Aye. Motion carries. At least two of the co-chairs have been discussing here, making a recommendation that Representative Smith, if there's a vacancy, be assigned to the Natural Resource Committee. That concludes our work for today. I don't like to put Mr. Rocco on the spot. I never do that. Ms. Rocco? The schedule. Which are the two? There's one or two committees, obviously, capital construction, that will not meet today, but some of the others do.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the Natural Resources and Transportation Economic Development subcommittees are meeting at 1 today for a few items each. And the Human Services and Education subs are meeting at 2 o'clock.
Okay, thank you. What we were trying to do, even though this is not normal meeting days, is to respect subcommittees' wishes that particularly bills that they've had public hearings on, that if they go to work session, that they can go to those committees. However, after today, the subcommittees, other than capital construction, will be closed, and all remaining bills will go through the capital construction committee. So, we should have some fairly significant bills coming out of that committee on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week, probably.
Education.
So, anything else for the good of the order? And we're next meeting of this committee should probably be late Monday if we stay on schedule. If we stay on schedule.
Mr. Chair, that's to be determined yet, but we could very possibly do a Monday full committee to take care of bills that come out of subcommittees today.
Okay. With that, concludes our business today.